Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
What's up, nerds? This is Just a Couple Arslings, the Last Kingdom podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jessica Toomer.
And I'm Melissa Fixie. We are writers for Sci-Fi Wire's Fangirls who started recapping The Last Kingdom in season three. So we decided to bring that nerdy, horny energy to Podcastlandia. Jessica, how is your Monday morning going?
It's all right. Happy May the 4th.
May the 4th be with you as well.
Special day.
Gonna have to watch The Last Jedi tonight to celebrate.
God, right? The best in the series. in this latest, like, not the whole, it does not get the respect it deserves. Yeah, it's been good. I think we were talking a little bit about, like, routines and how I am missing one, and I didn't realize I would miss one, so...
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else can relate to that, but... I guess I need to go to bed at a certain time and wake up at a certain time to be a functioning human being. So who knew?
Absolutely devastating information. Are you telling me that you can't just like, you know, sleep until noon and stay up until four and expect to have like, you know, healthy mental and physical state?
I mean, my body doesn't work that way anymore, I guess. It's, you know, changes are coming.
We're old now, Jessica. We can't live by college rules anymore.
Old ladies. So on that happy note, let's get into this episode because a lot happened. We have so much to cover.
Such a barn burner of an episode. Like, so much happened.
Packing it on this season. Like... Yeah. If we thought that maybe after, you know, Alfred dying and everything that happened last season with Skade, like, things would calm down a little bit, like...
Absolutely not.
So wrong. So wrong about that. So, we kind of kick off the episode. Father Peelig is in Wales. He's going to kind of bargain with King Howell.
Can I just say, can you imagine having to just walk all the way to Wales with your pack and your sword and nothing else? That just seems miserable to me. I can't remember. Is it like a thing that he doesn't ride horses? Because he's never on a horse when other people are on horses.
I want to say it is. I feel like he's the one who they met on the road and like... Maybe, like, season two? I feel like we've heard something.
Right. I feel like it's, like, a thing, but I can't remember.
Yeah, because I see all these hills that he's having to climb in Wales, which, like, congratulations, Wales, because you've got it going on. No one's going to invade you with all those,
tactical,
like,
advantage for the Welsh. But, yeah, there were a couple of moments in this episode where I was like, man, why is this man not on a horse? But I guess that's it. So, anyway.
You know what?
Yeah.
He's got to get his steps in, okay?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. But, yeah, so he's up in Wales to see King Howell to get the Welsh support against Edward's wishes. Edward doesn't even know at this point. And the Welsh don't like the Saxons either. So I'm kind of like unsure if King Howell is going to be like, yeah, we'll help you, or be like, oh, the Danes are attacking you. We'll help the Danes. Like, I feel like it could go either way after that kind of like unfriendly reception that he gets.
You know, for such a small island, nobody really gets along in this. Like, none of the different peoples are united at all. So, sorry, Alfred. But, he goes and they basically are like, screw you. We don't want to help. And then they basically float the idea of, well, maybe we'll help you because we hate the Danes even more than we hate the Saxons. And also, we want every single bit of silver from the battle. So, anything they pull off the bodies of dead Danes, go into the Welsh. And, you know, Peerleg is in a tough spot because he doesn't really have the authority to agree to that, but he can't leave without the Welsh coming to help. So he agrees to do that. And Well,
they bring out the book. They bring out the Bible.
Right. You know, he is first and foremost a priest, so he can't lie on the Bible.
They're not messing around with this.
Right.
Like, they know that the Danes like their jewelry. They know how much, like, silver they will get from this battle if they can get Peerlyg to kind of agree to this. And, you know, apparently the Welsh king got his hands on a direwolf, so he's got that, like, level of intimidation as well.
Right.
So really there was no other choice.
Yeah, strong Stark energy from the Welsh. yeah, and so while, you know, Peerlyg is making deals that are way above his pay grade, Uhtred is in Mercia with Æthelflaed still. They haven't left yet. I thought it was a really moving scene, the scene with, like, young Uhtred sort of administering the last rites to these children that were dead in Mercia, and Æthelflaed's real, you know, the turmoil that she's feeling at the loss of these children. I thought it was interesting because, you know, Uhtred is there thinking tactically, and he's like, we need to go. The Danes are coming. You're in danger. And Æthelflaed, she doesn't, you know, completely disregard his advice, but she also realizes that as a leader, she needs to not just feel her people's loss, but she needs to let them know that she feels that loss and that she's with them. Because if she's, you know, just running around, you know, doing whatever she needs to do with the Danes, her people are going to get, you know, frustrated that she's not with them. And I think Æthelflaed really realizes that. And so her public mourning of these children, I think, was a really, like, yes, I think it's, you know, it's because she cares and because she gives a shit. But I also think it's a really important tactical move, you know, to have her people see that she gives a shit. And so I think that makes them more willing to fight for her.
It's a very, like, politically smart move on her part. And it's also a bit hypocritical of Uhtred to kind of rush along someone else's grief when he was ready to risk it all to retrieve Father Bjoka's body just an episode ago. But, I mean, I get it. He's in a tough spot because he knows that the Danes are going to come from her. She's, like, apparently the most valuable hostage to ever exist in the history of hostages. and he knows that they're going to be outnumbered because there's nothing left in Mercia at this point. And he's not wrong because they kind of write up
the Danes
pretty
much immediately.
Pretty quick, yep.
Yeah.
They're trapped inside this great hall. I don't know who built these, like, who was in charge of building and, like, city planning, but if you don't build a back door to your great hall, like, you're an idiot. I mean, just the threat of, like, you know, burning inside because one of your, like, you know, fire pyres or whatever lights everything on fire, like, that should be risk enough to be like, yeah,
just
we should have an escape
door.
Route.
Yeah,
build
one extra door. I mean, really.
it's annoying. So, you know, Uhtred is kind of forced to come up with a pretty, I think, pretty genius plan. Like, he is the most clever of boys, Alyssa.
Yes.
With Canute's sons. And he's bargaining. He goes on top of the roof. He's bargaining with the Danes. And they're not having it. And so he's like, all right, bring the twins. And he threatens to cut off one of their heads. I think I was never worried that he was going to do it. But obviously, like everyone else, you know, they don't know Uhtred. So he takes the kid back. He pretends to, like, cut off his head. We hear, like, the sounds of, like, an axe going into a dead body. And then he throws a body off of the roof, and it's, like, cloaked in the same clothing as the kid was. But it turns out it's just, I guess, one of the dead
Mercian
kids,
children. Yeah.
Which sucks. So sorry, RIP. the Danes don't know that. And so the leader is pretty, he looks scared shitless, to be honest.
He should be.
To go back to Canute with that.
Yeah. And I think this whole plan is really important for showing Æthelflaed that she really truly just needs to trust Uhtred, because when the Danes show up, she's like, I gotta, you know, turn myself in. I'm not gonna let people die for me, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, just wait 2 minutes and let me come up with a plan and we'll make it work. And as soon as the Danes leave, they sort of share this look and you're like, yeah, Æthelflaed, He's not going to let you be taken. He's not going to not think things through. So just take a beat and listen to Uhtred, and he's probably going to come up with a plan that'll at least buy you some time, which he does. So, you know,
yeah, he's smart. I think he's proven that he's he's pretty brilliant when it comes to things like that.
I also have to say, though, like, with Uhtred, especially this season, I feel like every single episode he has a moment where he's like, the men can leave me if they want. I just, you know, I've asked too much of them, blah, blah, blah. And Finn's always like, dude, they're never going to leave you. Like, we're here. We're in it to win it. Like, stop whining about it. Like, we're never, you have never given us a reason to leave you. So maybe stop crying about it before every single battle, because we're a team now. Like, this is
it. Also, like, you know, if you want people to, like, not follow you and not believe in you anymore, don't be coming up with, like, ingenious plans like this. You know what I mean? Right. If I saw my, like, homeboy, be, like, trick the Danes into thinking he'd killed, you know, the leader's son, and then he's just like, haha, just kidding, it was, like, another kid's body, I'd be like, wow, like, I'm impressed. You're pretty cool. Right. Let's do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't have much else in those times.
Right. So that's reason enough to follow somebody. Someone who is not worth following is Athelred, though, and we sort of see him with his post-coital glow, which was pretty gross.
So gross.
Ugh, that guy just really needs to die. And, you know, Eardwulf is afraid because he doesn't want to tell Athelred that, you know, at his council, they've basically left Mercia open to be completely invaded. And Edith is like, listen, I basically just let this guy violate me so that you won't be murdered, hopefully. But I can't promise anything, but you have to tell him. So Edith did her duty, which is just such an icky thing to say. And so now, like, Eardwulf has to hold up his end of the bargain, and he has to tell Athelred. And it does not go great.
Shocking.
Athelred is pissed.
Yeah, I thought he would be, like, really gracious about this, and like, it's okay, dude, everyone makes mistakes.
Right.
No, that's not Athelred. He's obviously kind of enraged and, you know, throwing around insults, calling Edith a whore, you know, worrying about Ethelfled, you know, being seen as
planning
the savior of his kingdom.
Planning on castrating Eardwulf in a public place.
God, a public castration.
Yikes.
The places this dude's mind goes, it's so dark. The one thing I do want to say about this reaction is that when he finds out the spy in the Danish camp that Eardwulf was listening to was Heston. He's like, only a fool would have trusted Heston. And that's like the first, like, and only smart thing I think I've ever heard Ethelred say. And so it's like, you know, he's not wrong about that, but he's also the worst, so you can't really get behind him.
I feel like if you're going to join up against the Danes, you should get, like, a pamphlet and be like, all right, first of all, never trust Heston. He's a liar. He will screw you over. That's the first law of Saxon Club. Don't trust Heston.
Oh, for sure. Like, you should get a, like, welcome to your new position. Here's a manual.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, something you can refer back to in case
memorize this man's picture and never trust him.
Here's, like, how he positions his dreads. You know, here's, like, the beard jewelry. Yeah.
Right. Have some alternate styles mocked up just in case he changes his look, but, you know.
He won't,
don't
but
trust
you need to be prepared. it's not a good time in Ethelred's camp. And, you know, obviously he knows he can't stay in East Anglia. He knows he has to go help Ethelfled, even though it's going to kill him, to be, like, kind of writing to her aid. Because if he doesn't have Mercia, then he doesn't have anything. I mean, who wants East Anglia at this point? So he gets Eardwulf to kind of call all the men back from all of their pillaging, and it looks like he's going to ride to Tenton Hall. Still not sure about Edward, though, because he's in Wessex, like, having a little temper tantrum in front of his mother because he finds out that she has sent Peerlaig to Wales to bargain with the Welsh king against his wishes, which, yikes.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think, you know, Edward makes it really clear. He's like, he knows that Howell will take advantage because they don't have a good relationship with the Welsh. And he knows that Canute will hear of it and think that Wessex is divided and weak. So basically, like, you know, I think Aylswyth was kind of put in an impossible position because, you know, this looks really bad, but it would look even worse if she hadn't called for aid and it was like just them against the Danes. Like that never, that was never going to go well. And so I think we sort of see this further division between Edward and his mother because he's, you know, trying to be a king, whatever. And then as he's like leaving after reading her the riot act, she basically calls him a bitch and is like, listen, if you wanted to like, you know, earn the awe of your people, you should have done a better job on your own instead of driving your sister and I to, like, make these choices without you. So, yeah.
Word, Aylswyth.
Word, Aylswyth. Like, what is going on this season? Because I feel like I'm fist pumping every time Aylswyth is on screen. It's killing me.
It's making me question, like, everything I ever thought I knew about this show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm totally behind her. I think, you know, obviously she's thinking as a mother, she wants her daughter safe. But I think she's also thinking as a experienced leader. And she knows how terrible it would look if Edward didn't ride to help his sister. I mean, that's just, it's not only cowardly, obviously. It shows all of your enemies that you're not willing to, you know, risk anything for your allies. So it makes like your entire kingdom look weak, because if you're not going to ride out to help your sister, you're not going to ride out to help East Anglia or to help whoever else like might be in your crew. You know what I mean? So it just, I think it opens you up to more than just, oh, he was a bad brother. Like it's not a good look for Edward as a ruler. And, you know, while he's having this fight with his mom, Ethelhelm and Aelfled, I finally learned her name.
Aelfled. Yeah.
I mean, I guess I need to know it. They're scheming against Aelswyth. Basically, Aelfled's kind of attempts to manage Edward are not going well. There's obviously a rift between those two. And Ethelhelm's worried about it because he knows now that Aylswyth went to the monastery. She saw Edward's firstborn son and she reunited him with his mom. And he's worried that, you know, there's a legitimate claim there and that's going to put their position at court in jeopardy. And he basically tells his daughter to fuck Edward into complacency, which, gross.
There was a lot of men being extra gross about their female relative sex lives in this episode, and I really didn't care for it. Between Eardwulf talking about Edith boning Athelred and Athelhelm talking about Aelfled boning Edward, just, you know, I just stay out of it. You know, I get it. Like, women are in a very different position than they are now. But it just, all this discussion about sexual manipulation was super gross to me and just a real sign of the times. And they were not good.
No, so it's also weird that, like, they have this conversation and they're, like, hugging. And he's, like, holding her neck and, like, keeping her very close while he whispers in her ear about what she should do to keep
basically
her husband satisfied.
Right. I just, not a fan.
So
get some boundaries, Saxons.
Boundaries.
You clearly don't have any. So, like, I feel like nobody was really in a good place in this episode. Like, the Saxons are scrambling in their various factions. And then, like, once that the Danish spy gets back to Canute and tells him, hey, so Uhtred's back and he killed your eldest son. And Canute, of course, is, like, upset because, you know, he thinks his son is dead. But he really, like, gets extremely emotional. And I think it, you know, it makes him make a mistake. Like, he really wants to ride out to meet Uhtred now, even though he's not 100% certain of, like, what they'll be facing. And Breida kind of, you know, tells him, you know, it's okay. We need to regroup. We do not need to ride out to meet them just yet because we're not ready. And he was, you know, going on and on about an heir. And if he doesn't have his heirs, then, you know, what's all this for? And I feel like she was trying to tell him, actually, I'm pregnant, too. So you have a backup kid. So there's a spare if you lose both of your boys. But she never really gets to tell him that. So they're, you know, going to ride off to Tettenhall and face him down. And it's it's a lot.
Yeah, he's raging out, obviously. I think it's really interesting. So it did seem like Brito was going to tell him before he learned the news about his sons. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, I don't know. It was interesting that, like, she didn't use that to maybe calm him because she was trying so hard to be like, think about this. This is what they want. We had the advantage. It's an insult to the gods to ride out. But she didn't use the pregnancy, which I thought was interesting. And I'm like, I don't know if it would have gotten her what she wanted. I don't know if he would have been like, okay, fine. You know, I don't think that would have happened. And maybe she recognized that and was like, it's not worth it to tell him now. But yeah, I'm wondering if he's ever going to find out that, you know, she's pregnant. I don't know what this baby means for Brita. I know.
Yeah.
Like, it's an interesting position that she's in because it feels like that's something she's wanted for a long time. Now she has it, and it's almost like, I don't know. Yeah, it's just a weird position that she's in. And so while they're kind of, the Danes are kind of grouping up and getting ready to ride out, our Cookham crew's kind of hanging by the fire. They're waiting around Tettenhall and thinking that their leaders are devising some genius battle strategy.
But really, they're making out.
They're like neck fixing, chilling in the woods. Like, I guess if death is like an imminent thing and it's a turn on, I mean, everyone in the ninth century must be like hella horny because
horned up all the time before a battle. If you're gonna die and like Uhtred is there, like, hey, use my body, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I want to say, like, you know, wrong place, wrong time, but honestly, I'm so tired. Just find happiness where you can, crazy kids.
That's the quarantine brain speaking. We might be able to, like, you know, assess the situation differently if we could, you know, go outside, but we can't, so I understand.
I haven't had human contact in weeks, so whatever.
Right.
Do what you want. also, did you see that ass grab?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Get it, girl. Like, Adelphid is just so in control of this whole thing, and I'm loving it. Like, I don't know. There's something about their relationship where it just feels so, like, there's equal footing there, and I think they both have their strengths, and they have weaknesses, and they kind of make up for each other's, and it's a really interesting dynamic between them.
Yeah, the power dynamic between them is really interesting, and I'm curious to see how long it can hold, because ultimately, like, you know, Athelflaed has a lot of responsibilities, and I don't know what that means for them. But, yeah, I think I like the footing that they have together right now.
We're going to enjoy it while we can, Alyssa.
Exactly. You're right.
I thought that for so long. But now I ask myself why I failed there. I know there is a plan for me, yet I do not know what it is. Only that it leads me to you.
So they, you know, they head off to Tettenhall, do some majestic galloping. You know I love that shit.
Yep.
And so they show up and nobody's there. Edward hasn't come. They don't know about the Welsh. And it's, you know, I think they expected somebody to be there when they rolled up, so it was kind of an anticlimax when no one is there.
Yeah, it's a little concerning, I have to say, to see, like, our small little band of,
very
like,
concerning.
Rebels in a huge open field, and no one else is like, hey, we're here too.
Right.
You know, apparently the Fjords are supposed to assemble in the woods and wait for Athelflaed to get the signal as kind of a surprise. you know, luckily the Welsh do arrive, and Father Peerlig's with them. So, you know, he explains what's going on, and Ethelfled sees this as a really good sign. She's like, well, Edward wouldn't have sent the Welsh if he wasn't going to come help me. And Peerlig's like, actually.
Psych. It's a gift from your mom.
And so, yeah. So even at this point, you know, they have, it's obviously better numbers, but they still don't have enough to match the Danes. And there's a real concern that, you know, Edward is not going to show up. And I think it kind of forces, you know, Uhtred to, again, get kind of ingenious and inventive in his battle strategy. He's so good at making use of that terrain. Like,
yes,
just the best.
Although, how long would it have taken them to, like, dig trenches like that?
My God.
Overnight. Well, and there aren't that many of them. So
I assume the trenches were already dug. Like, I thought they were already there. The thing that I think they had to do was, like, cover them with all the branches and stuff, which still seems like it would have taken a while because you have to go in the woods and cut down the trees.
I just, I don't know. I cannot imagine the level of exhaustion that a battle like this. I mean, you've been traveling through the night to get there. So you're operating on no sleep and a lot getting in your steps. And then you've got to prep the terrain and, like, you know, hide all these massive trenches. And that's, like, a full day's work. And then, you know, you got to go and fight for your life after that. Oh, my God. I hope they sleep for a week when this is over.
Also, like, I mean, the food situation. It's not like they're eating, like, they're carving up before these battles. They might get a slice of bread and, like, a little bit of meat. And that's probably it. So it's like,
exactly. If I don't eat
the
breakfast.
The human body back then.
I just, like, I can't believe it. Like, if I don't live a particularly, you know, robust physical life. So, like, but even I am, like, if I don't eat breakfast, like, I am hungry and worthless by lunchtime. And so I just, you know, they're stronger people than I by
really
quite
are.
A lot.
Yeah, we've really, I think evolution has kind of, it's worked backwards from this time.
Yeah, we're all weak now.
But yeah, so they're kind of, they're getting ready. They think it's just going to be them and the Welsh.
I do not fight for honor, Uhtred. I fight because someone must make a stand against Cnut. Even though I am forbidden. As a sister, I am defiant, but as a daughter of Alfred, I am just doing my duty. Even if it wasn't made for me, I cannot blindly follow the king's command.
That is something I understand.
Uhtred and Ethelfled have this moment right before the battle. I don't know why. It's honestly one of the hottest things, like, I've ever seen. Like, he tells her to find someone to kill her softly in case things don't go well and it looks like she's going to be taken. And, like, I damn near swooned at that. Like, I was just like, oh, my God, I want someone to tell me to find someone to kill me softly because he's so worried about me. And, of course, like, Ethelfled already has her man picked out, Eldhelm. I don't know if that's a good choice. And they're kind of waiting for the Danes. Everyone's there. Young Uhtred is on the front lines. I don't know
why. Nobody gave him any armor? Like, that boy is not prepared for a battle at all. There wasn't any sort of leather or mail or anything to give him in Mercia. Nothing. He's just out here in his little deacon outfit with a sword and, you know,
so does
God's will
and
his
cross.
Back. Like, come on, man.
Yes, and also Osferth is there with him. Like, he only has one arm. Like, the neglect for baby monk's welfare on the show is
unacceptable.
Like an insult. Yeah,
exactly.
It really is. So I'm worried, obviously, about more than
Finan's
one character
worried
at this
because
point.
He's, you know, praying his hardest, which is not, you know, what he's known to do. That was a great
prayer?
Touch, though. It was amazing.
Yeah, that was so dramatic. That kind of voiceover prayer that he's doing, it's just like, oh, shit, this is real.
It made me think of that moment in Return of the King when Pippin is singing as the Gondorians ride out to go die. Had very strong vibes, and I'm glad that they had a happier outcome.
You know when Pippin sings, people
it's
gonna
be
die.
Bad. Right. But yeah, so Cnut and his men, they show up, and it seems a little bit too clean to Brita. And so she's like, hey, man, let's hold back for a second. But Canute is like, screw you. I'm mad. I want blood. And so he rides out with his men, and they're riding hard, and they get stuck in these pits, and it's awesome. But also, I always feel sad because those horses did not deserve to have their legs broken. They did nothing wrong. But anyway, so Canute is not, he's so overcome by emotion that he's not playing his cards right.
And it gives Uhtred the high ground when they're trying to climb out of the pit. And I had, there's such like Battle of the Bastard vibes this whole episode, but especially when Canute's trying to kind of crawl out from out under this pile of bodies.
That was exactly what I thought of too. So it's
intense.
This is a great battle. I mean, there have been some great battles on The Last Kingdom. They're really good at staging a fight, but this one may have been my favorite one yet. They did a really good job with just, you know, just showing the overwhelming clash of bodies while also having like the small character moments. Like, you have, you know, Uhtred saving his son and everybody, you know, sort of fighting for their lives. I mean, I always love to see, like, Cedric and Finan, like, fighting together because you can always find them together on the battlefield because they're bros. Yes. Yep. So, it's starting to look pretty bad. And then Æthelred shows up and joins the fight. And for a second, I thought he was going to, like, see it and, like, see Æthelflaed and be like, you know what? Screw her. I don't want to do this. But for once, he did the right thing and joined the fight. And Edward also shows up and is also, again, pissed because Æthelflaed did what he couldn't. And, you know, he talks about how, you know, there we go. Christians are united without Wessex to lead them forward.
So, jelly.
I think you've got both of these kings.
Peanut butter jelly time.
So yeah, you've got both of these kings like looking on Æthelflaed and getting shit done and really, really upset at that.
Your sister's cooler than you.
She is. And we need to talk about that moment with Æthelflaed and Eldhelm on the field because I like. It made me feel things. I'm not going to lie. It was a, it was like, you know, if I shipped it, I would ship it harder. So I kind of do.
Here's the thing. I think there's something really attractive about Eldhelm's, like, just willingness to follow Æthelflaed. Like, his, I know Uhtred respects Æthelflaed, and he sees how strong and capable she is, and it is an equal relationship between them. I think there's a kind of worship that Eldhelm has for her because he really cares about Mercia and he sees how important she is for Mercia as well. That like makes their relationship. Yeah. It's always going to have a little bit of that kind of energy because she's like, you know, his only hope for Mercia at this point. And so I think to like their interest as far as like protecting their people and seeing their kingdom do well are more aligned than what hers and Uhtred's are. And I think this kind of situation showed that maybe. I don't know. It's like it's a facet of their relationship that Uhtred and Æthelflaed will probably never have.
Well, it's basically like the classic example of like courtly love. Like there's this man, he's, you know, one of her vassals and they'll never be together, you know, like she's the queen. He's, you know, a lesser noble, whatever. But he'll always, like, carry that flame for her and sort of, like, that unrequited love. And, you know.
Love it.
They've written so many stories about that. So, courtly love, Æthelflaed and Eldhelm. I love it. But, yeah, Edward does come through and save her, though. But he's not happy about it.
No. I mean, like, thanks for, you know, making sure that she doesn't
firing
die.
The arrow, but, like, whatever.
Just the worst. I do want to talk about, though, you know, so everyone's fighting. Edward's now in the fight, and bodies are flying. It's really kind of chaos and brutal. And then all of a sudden, so Edward is out here in the field fighting. We see Steoppa, like, push him out of the way. A horse, like, rams into Steoppa, which, you know, fuck you, horse. And then literally 2 seconds later, we see a dude bash Steoppa's head in, and Steoppa is dead. Like,
yeah, he's dead as hell. That was a brutal death. Like, it would take a, like, Steoppa, I feel like he's a bigger deal in the books, but in the show, he's just such a constant presence. Like, he doesn't always say very much, but he's, like, always there. Like, whenever yes. there are big moves happening, Steoppa is there. And for to have him, like, die, and to die so hard, that was brutal.
There was no buildup. I mean, it just happened, and then we had a second to process it, and then it was like, all right, move on. And I think yeah. that, more than anything, kind of, yeah, conveyed the brutality of, like, living in this time. And
it reminded me a lot of Leo Fritsch's death in season 1, where it's like, oh, just God. To show, I know, just to kind of, like, show, like, you know, when you're in the thick of battle, like, you suffer these, you know, huge losses, but you can't, like, dwell on it, you know? Like, you have to mm-hmm. sort of shore up your resolve and keep fighting, and then you'll deal with it once you've survived, if you survive, and when the battle is over. But yeah, I did not expect that. That was a hard one.
Something else I didn't expect, which I was excited about at first, as this battle is going on, Ethelred falls into the ditch.
Yes.
I'd hoped that maybe he fell, like, on a sword or something. But he starts to get up, and I'm like, oh, he's fine. But no.
But then you see that gnarly head wound, and it is gross.
Basically, his brain's coming out of the back of his skull. So that, like, earned a little fist pump from me. Yeah. For a second, I'm like, oh, maybe he'll die by the end of this. And then, you know, I remember good things rarely happen on the show. So I'm not going to get
too excited,
too hopeful. Yeah, not too excited about it. But it was still a nice sight to see him, like, kind of stumbling around, not really coherent. I was like, yes, just let someone finish him off.
Please. But we did get one very satisfying death in this battle.
Yes.
Uhtred sort of runs off into the woods to sort of head up the Danes that are trying to escape. And Canute sees him and follows him. And so they finally have this, like, big confrontation. And Canute is pissed because he thinks he killed his sons. And Uhtred is pissed because he knows he killed Ragnar. And so they're, like, having this emotional, you know, back and forth about revenge. And Breeda comes upon them and sort of hears everything. And so she knows what Canute did, and, you know, it's not like she ever gave a shit about him before, really, like, you know, outside of what he could give her. And I loved that Uhtred let her have the kill. Like, he yes. let her, you know, be the one to swing the sword.
Yeah, but he before, knew how much it meant to her.
Yeah, and, you know, before they kill him, like, he tells him that his sons are still alive. You know, so at least he has that as he's going out. But yeah, Breeda, you know, runs him through. And
love it.
Yeah. And, you know, I just, Breeda and Uhtred's relationship is so complex, but I love that they didn't, you know, they were still able to unite over this one thing. But yep. it's, you know, I don't think that'll happen again, because Breeda no. gets taken by the Welsh, and she begs Uhtred to kill her and says, you know, I want to be with Ragnar, I want to go to Valhalla, I can't be a slave. And he can't do it. Like, he ultimately, like, even though he knows it's what she wants, he can't be the one to kill her. So she gets taken away, which is just a killer.
The worst. Her face.
I know.
Sad, and just so feeling betrayed again by Uhtred, not respecting her wishes. And I get it. I mean, that's too much to ask of him.
That's a lot of pressure to put on him. But
yes. But also, I think that almost feels like the final kind of nail in the coffin of their relationship, because
sure.
he knows what being, you know,
a slave means.
Taken, yeah, especially for her, especially for someone like Breeda. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just can't, I don't know what's going to happen with these two. I don't think this is the end for them, but I just think that when they're finally kind of reunited, it's not going to be pretty.
No. But yeah, so the Saxons win the battle, heavy Yay. Losses, but they have a little bit of victory. And Edward, you know, he goes to meet with Howell, and he's like, hey, it was great that, you know, Wales could help us. I look forward to, you know, an alliance moving forward. And he finds out about Pure League's deal and is not pleased, but he's basically, you know, he doesn't have a choice but to go along with it. But Howl basically tells him, yeah, go to hell. I don't want an alliance. I just wanted all this Danish silver. So you're on your own, Boy King. And I think Pure League is in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it's a real slap in the face for Edward.
Yeah.
And you see that moment right after they have this talk that Edward, like, looks over to Pure League and it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I can hear I can hear the Kill Bill sirens. It is not good.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The you know, we're going to zoom in on the face and it's, yeah, it's going to be crazy. But before he kind of has it out with Pure League, he, you know, meets with Aethelflaed and things don't go well. He's very,
no,
obviously, you know, he's insecure and jealous, and he's witnessed, you know, he's lost Teyapa, so he's hurting, and he basically tells her, you know, don't come back to Wessex, like, I don't want you
here.
You're
the reason Teyapa is dead.
Oh my God, such a little bitch boy about this whole thing. And he's just like, yeah, the way he does it, the timing, basically, you know, saying, and Aethelhelm comes as well, and they basically say, like, you know, Wessex is going to blame you for the loss of their men, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, they would not. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's for Aethelhelm, it's a politically smart thing to do to, you know, make sure that Aethelflaed is banished, because she is someone that, you know, people get behind and people want to follow. And Edward is clearly not at this point. But for Edward, it feels I don't know. It's so petty and it's so hurtful, because I feel like they've been through a lot together as siblings and they've come to each other's aid a lot. And you really see what not having Alfred around has, like, done to even their relationship.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, I mean, I think Edward is young and green and he makes bad choices. But I also think that he is smart. And I think he realizes that Aethelflaed is really proving herself to be Alfred's true heir. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Aethelflaed is the one who is beloved by her people and making these big moves and finding success on the battlefield. And he's just always playing catch up. And I think, I don't think he realizes that listening to men like Aethelhelm is a big reason of why he's in that position. So I think he's just choosing to take it all out on Aethelflaed when he realizes that, like, she is her father's daughter and he is not acting like his, you know, his dad's son. So,
yeah,
it's a lot. It's a lot of layers with those two. And it's, whew. It's going to be bad. I am, like, so stoked to watch the back half of the season, because I think it's going to get really bad between Edward and Aethelflaed.
But, hey, Aethelred might be dead. So there's
always that. But maybe Aethelred is dead. So, yeah. Yeah, you kind of have that moment between Eardwulf and Edith, and she's like, we need to go. We can pretend that you died on the battle, and we can just leave and start over. And he's like, absolutely not. We're going to see this through, even if it's, you know, ends badly. And then luckily, you know, the man they're thinking about running from has a major head wound and is hopefully dead. So maybe
you see them, like, exchange a look of,
and they're like, ooh, like, this
are we that
would
lucky?
Solve, right, this would solve a lot of our problems. So we'll see how that plays out going forward.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So now it's time for our next episode wishes. This is when we issue our demands for upcoming episodes like the spoiled toddlers that we are. Here's what we want to see, when we want to see it, and why we won't be denied. Alyssa?
So super interested to see how Edward lashes out after this battle. Like, he's clearly pissed with his sister, and I cannot imagine things will go well with Aelswyth when he returns to Wessex, you know? Mm. Like, he knows what she did, she knows what she did. They have very different feelings about it, and it's going to be bad. So, and, you know, I'm ready for Edward to stop listening to Athelhelm and instead, you know, listen to the women in his life, but I know that's not likely. But, like, as much as I love the battles, which is a lot, I also love the courtly scheming. So seeing, you know, what happens with Aelswyth and little Athelstan and Athelhelm is a priority for me. Like, they are terrified that this kid and his poor wronged mother is coming for, you know, their position and wants to take over the kingship after Edward. And I like seeing those Jags afraid, so I'm super stoked to see how all of Aelswyth's, you know, sort of behind the scenes machinations play out. I'm stoked.
They should be afraid. I mean, Aelswyth is a worthy opponent. And I think Athelhelm kind of underestimates her. He calls her a bitter widow this episode. Mm-hmm. And it's like, she's way more than that, dude. Like, you need to wise up or your time's going to be short in this palace. Yeah, obviously, I think we all want Ethelred to die, but I don't think he deserves to kind of go out a hero on the battlefield. Fair. So, you know, maybe this traumatic brain injury will just plague him for a while and we'll see him go insane. And, you know, maybe then Edith can stab him while they're getting it on or something.
Ooh, I don't know. I like that
idea. I've gone a little dark.
It's good, though.
I just want him to really suffer.
I like where your head's at.
Thank you. Thank you. Mostly, though, I think I want to kind of see what's going to happen to Breda, because watching her be taken away by the soldiers was rough.
Awful.
I think she's such a fierce warrior, and being in a cage is kind of worse than death for her, especially after everything she's been through. She deserves rest. I just want her to live the life she wants, or to go to Valhalla if that's what she wants. She's earned whatever ending she thinks is right for herself at this point.
Now, The Last Kingdom has a massive cast of interesting characters, and nearly everyone gets their time to shine. Our arsling of the episode is the character who truly goes above and beyond to win the war or simply win our hearts. Who was your arsling in this episode?
I mean, it's got to be Uhtred. He really came through this episode. I mean, he's always been a good fighter.
Sure. But
I love to see, like, how his mind works when it comes to things like, you know, hostage negotiations and battle planning. I think he's such a smart little Viking warlord. Mm. And that bit with Canute's sons was like perfect. And I think once again, like, he finds the most inventive ways to gain the high ground when facing down a much bigger opponent. I mean, even Finan has this moment where he's like explaining to young Uhtred, like, your dad gets us out of like all kinds of scrapes. So I'm sure he'll come up with something. Like, he has a reputation now for having these brilliant last minute ideas. I don't know if that's, you know, that luck is going to run out soon. But right now I'm standing it.
Yeah, like you said, like, Uhtred absolutely killed it this episode, but I'm going to go with Athelflaed. I have loved watching her grow into a real leader, you know, like, really taking the good parts of her father and combining them with what she's learned on the job as the Lady of Mercia, whether that's just being around her people and seeing how things work or listening to Uhtred. Like, Athelflaed, obviously, she's her own woman, but she's also wise enough to take the counsel of others, and she's wise enough to see what has worked in the past and how she can use that in her own way. And I think that's really amazing. And, you know, her main focus is always what's best for her people. And I think that's a really rare thing on this show.
For sure.
She isn't out for glory, even if she deserves it, you know, like so many of the men around her. And I think the way that she combines compassion and steely resolve is really going to serve her well in the long run.
she's the heir that Alfred had and just never appreciated. So
the princess who was promised, like, come on,
for real,
she's the best.
It's only right. Get ready to shame down the worst character of the episode with us. It doesn't matter if you're a Saxon or a Dane. Anyone can be a turd, and we're calling out the biggest one of the week. Alyssa?
Well, for me, the toxic twosome of Athelred and Eardwulf are just jumping on my last nerve. Like, these guys. Yeah. Get out of here.
These
like,
guys.
Like, Eardwulf has zero qualms about innocent men dying in his quest for family security. And his willingness to basically damn his sister to a life of being a sex slave is just repugnant. Like, he's a coward.
Seriously.
And I'm ready for him to die. Same for Athelred. Like, he's flounced around being a dickhead for long enough, so may that head wound seal his fate.
Yes. Like, Eardwulf, if you want to be in the king's, like, good graces so bad, why don't you put on this scanty robe and, like, walk around?
Flash,
you know,
your
the
tits,
soldiers,
Eardwulf,
like, area.
Come on.
Yeah. Jesus, lace up your corset. I don't know. He's the worst. I agree with both of those wholeheartedly. I also want to add Edward to our turd pile this episode because he's just been the worst this entire season. Mm. And, you know, I think his jealousy, his insecurities, the fact that he does not respect the counsel of his mother and his sister, just the epitome of toxic masculinity right now. And you know, he was willing to let his sister die to get what he wanted. Like, that is mind-blowing to me. And even when he comes to her aid, he has, like, the time and the mindset to, like, comment on, oh, people like her better. Like, it's just so, it's so petty. And
get over it.
Get over it. And the fact that he exiles her and leaves her with the guilt of Stiapa's death, even though that's not on her at all, I think it's just a step too far. And, you know, if someone wants to assassinate him this season, I'll give you some coin. Like, I'll back you.
Well, historically, he does not have a very long reign. So I wouldn't be too concerned. But yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me because he's really not a good leader.
So, no character is safe on The Last Kingdom, but some seem to be flirting with death more than others. Ninth century life was fleeting and barbaric, but that doesn't mean we can't have some fun with it. Get ready to place your bets on who's headed for Valhalla soon, because this is the Viking death pool. All right, who have you got? Who's toast?
All right, I know the show wants us to place our bets on Athelred dying, but I don't trust the writers after Stiapa's death, so I'm going to go ahead and name Father Pureleg as the next in line for the grave. He betrayed Edward. He embarrassed him. It's not like Edward can punish his mom with a public execution. So I think Pureleg probably just signed his death warrant.
First of all, I would like to say that between calling Bayoka and Canute, we're kind of killing this new category, pun fully intended.
Ayo!
And yeah, I agree about Pureleg. That man's days are unfortunately numbered. I'm also, like, as much as I've enjoyed her scheming, I'm extremely worried about Aelswyth. Like, at this point, she wields significantly less power than Athelhelm. And if she doesn't play her cards perfectly, I don't think he has any problem, you know, offing her and making it look like an accident, you know? Like,
very true.
He's feeling desperate. He wants to hold on to this position that he's, you know, secured for himself and for his daughter. And I think Aelswyth is trying to fuck with that, and he's not going to take kindly to that kind of meddling.
Also, it's, you know, we've been kind of praising Aelswyth this whole season, so it would be a particularly, like, hard death to accept at this point.
Right, make her like her, or make us like her and then kill her off. That'd be terrible.
Then take her away. That's
terrible.
That's The Last Kingdom's MO. So I think that's a good guess. This is clearly a very serious podcast about a very serious show. But sometimes it's nice to indulge in a little thirst. It's 2020. The world is on fire. Honestly, we deserve this. So this is our time to celebrate the thirstiest moments that really blew our skirts up this episode. Alyssa, you go first.
Listen, There's no better look than disheveled and slightly bloody. So maybe means there's something broken inside of me, but I stand by it.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, I mean, it, you know, there wasn't anything particularly horny, but it worked for me at the same time.
No shame. I agree. I think there's that hookup in the woods.
That's true.
That really got me. I think the clothes stayed on, but I really appreciate. Yeah, I appreciate The Last Kingdom finding kind of fresh ways to keep these trysts like hot and steamy. Mm. I also really like how Ethelflaed seems to be in control of these interactions. Like it's a new look for Uhtred to be the submissive one in a relationship, and I'm here for it. That's a really good point.
Yeah, we haven't seen that in his other relationships. You know, like I think with Gisela, there was a real partnership, but it was still, I think, ultimately she would defer to him.
Sure.
So yeah, that's a really good point. I'm into it. So since we recorded our previous seasons, the world has changed a little bit. Life has ground to a halt, and we're just doing our best not to lose our minds in quarantine. So goodbye, Geek Out, and welcome to Self-Care Corner, where we talk about what we're reading, watching, and doing to stave off the seemingly endless alone time. So what are you up to lately, Jessica?
I feel like the last couple of, episodes we've done, I've talked about, like, doing things. So I'm going to revert back to my natural self, which is watching TV. Mm. And there's a show coming out on Hulu soon. It's called The Great.
Yeah.
It has Nicholas Hoult and Elle Fanning. It's basically set in, like, you know, I think, like, maybe 17th or 18th century Russia.
It's Catherine the Great, and, right? Sort of her rise
to power. It's Catherine the Great. It's her, yeah, young Catherine the Great. And I don't know if anyone's seen The Favorite, but it's written by the guy who wrote The Favorite, Tony McNamara. And it is hilarious. It's so good. Nicholas Hoult plays this Russian emperor who is just insane and, like the worst kind of like royal, and Elle Fanning plays the woman he gets married to, and she kind of comes into this court, and it's like, you know, a fish out of water kind of thing, and everyone's just the worst, and it's so fun to watch. Yeah, I love period pieces that kind of play with history a little bit, and they don't stay so tight to like what happened and have a little fun with it. Like you'll laugh in every episode. It's great.
You know, I was a Skins fan, still am a Skins fan. So I think it's kind of crazy to see how Nicholas Hoult's career has sort of evolved over time. Like, who would have guessed that he would have found his niche as, like, deranged dandy?
Seriously. He's so good at it.
He's so good at that. He was, like, the stealth favorite in The Favorite. So I'm ready for, like, a whole show of that.
Put him in, like, a long wig and some, like, rouge and let him go. Because he seems to really enjoy it. And, he's, like, the low-key, you know, secret weapon of the show as well. Like, there's just, there's something about, like, watching him play a really dumb bad guy that's so fun.
Well, I finished Normal People and cried on my couch for the last three episodes. Ooh. Highly recommend
it. Gotta get into it. Yep,
I really need to know what you think about it. And this weekend, I basically was like a canning queen. I pickled radishes, I pickled red onions, and I made vegetable stock because I didn't want to like waste my produce. And I don't know, are you a fan of the Bon Appetit Test Kitchen?
Yes, so I have watched, but I don't know how to can. Do they have a canning episode?
Well, no, but it was basically just like I was trying to channel my inner Brad Leone and make my own fermentation station. I don't know if I did it correctly. Like, I think I did fine. You don't need to be like super intense about canning if you're just like, you know, slicing up some radishes for pickles. But yeah, it was really fun and it made me like feel a little bit in control of my life. Like it may be just like I'm in control of my refrigerator and the things going in and out of it and not letting produce go bad. But that sort of modicum of control really helped my mental state over the weekend. So yeah, if you want to make your own pickles, do it. It's really fun.
I mean, wherever you can get that sense of like, I've got this. You get it. If it's from canning, you know, radishes, do it,
girl. There you go. All right, guys, if you want to hear more of our bullshitting, check us out on Twitter or over at Sci-Fi Wire Fangirls. Also, don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave us a nice review wherever you get your podcasts.
And until next time, destiny is all, bitches.